to say, yes, sir. And then the Bible goes on to say, hey, if you are obedient, you are calling the Bible, Alaba Shake Bredo Sokodo. Hey! Hallelujah! Ah, no, let's do this thing. Give me 1 Peter chapter 3. I feel the anointing to teach this thing.
If the light goes on, it's not enough. It's not enough for the light to go on. The Bible says the light shines. It shines. No, my light will not just go on. No, my light will not just go on. It's not enough that you cleared. You have to be excellent. Your light, no. It's not enough that you feel before. And he has put all things under his sight, at arm's length. Where has he put them? Somebody shout, it's under my feet.
Man of God, a son of God, a lover of God, of people, and he's the founder and senior pastor at Household of Faith, and it is Pastor Daniel Kaira. So we are honored to have you here, and we are so grateful that you made the time to be here with us, and particularly on this topic of the week, which is all things love. And why I was very excited about is that you have a whole Sunday service dedicated to Love Sunday.
Correct.
And it's an annual conference. And I am so excited that we chose the right person and you came through, sir. So welcome. We are welcome.
Thank you.
To the intention
Thank
of
so
God's flower.
Whoa. It's been overwhelming.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was going to receive so much love. I'm happy to to be here. Thank you, Akim. Yeah. Which one is Carol?
This one.
Yes. Firstly, a 50 kwacha to a fan.
Ah!
That's one fan.
My Valentine's.
Valentine's gift.
And we said she would receive something for Valentine's.
Oh, I almost said I'm Carol, but but let's figure it out.
Are you sure you got? I'm actually.
Right, but
happy Valentine's, Carol.
Thank you. Yeah. I see.
It has come so fast, and of course we're excited to have you, Pastor Daniel. We follow you so much, but let's start from here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Bible in 3D.
Bible in 3D.
Yeah. I'm like, this man is super creative.
Oh, really?
when I read the title, I'm like, okay, what am I expecting from this? But
right.
Then, because I'm a follower of your articles,
I
love just the way you structure, you know, your articles. Reading, especially on the transfiguration, I'm like, this
right.
man is deep. What's going on? What was going through your mind?
Where to start from? So, it's just stories. You know,
mm-hmm.
when sometimes I feel like there's another way to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's so much that one scripture is pregnant with that I would want the world to know.
Mm.
And the best way is to put it in story form. And I learned it from Jesus. Sometimes Jesus really wanted to teach deep things.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the people and you say something simple like, you know, one day there was a farmer
mm-hmm.
and he went to sow. And that was the kind of language that they were acclimatized to.
Yeah.
So that's really what inspires that kind of writing. And the Mount of Transfiguration, particularly, I had questions about what kind of conversations,
mm-hmm.
What kind of conversation did Jesus have
with Elijah.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I was thinking, what could they have been discussing? I've really been wanting to be part of that conversation.
Yeah.
Or even just to sit there and listen to what they're discussing.
Mm.
So I decided to put my own opinions. So that's
I decided to put my own opinions.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the story.
And guess what? You know, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, people are going to read that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they have a picture of what actually took place at the mountain of transfiguration. And yet it was written 2,000 years later by Pastor Daniel.
Right.
That was so innovative of you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you follow the Bible in 3D.
Right? Yes, I do. I've saved quite a number of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Those need to go far.
Please, they must.
We need to animate them. Yeah. Them out.
Yes. Actually, we need to create content for children and for I'm a Sunday school teacher.
Right. Okay.
We have suffered.
I'm a Sunday school teacher. So I get excited when, you know, the Bible stories come alive, and that's what we're talking about. Right. Even last Sunday, we were talking about, you know, with intimacy with God. Is it real or is it fake?
Right.
And with such stories, with such Bible in 3D, it's an opportunity for the Bible to come alive and for people to easily interact with the Bible. So I'm actually, it should actually come out.
You made it so relative, and I tell you, as we go forward with the program, we may just get that 50 from you because of the realities of the producing.
We look forward to that. But then we were even talking about that before we got in here. We talked about how we should release more movies locally, but then even cartoons and animations for children as well. You know, because I think you alluded to the fact that there was a movie that was released
by Pastor Daniel.
Pastor Daniel himself. Yeah. So Pastor Daniel, we look forward to your animations.
Wow.
Kids,
you guys are full of stuff.
Of course, you need to invite someone that we follow.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Just making sure we are exposing our audience to the right content producers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the God sized hawk.
Yes.
That was one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's the titles, but I don't know how, you know what. I don't know what goes on in Pastor Daniel.
Yes.
Because as someone who's looking at the title, you're just there thinking, the God-sized hope.
Yeah.
And it builds so much anticipation because we're trying to think, okay, what was Pastor Daniel thinking? What could he have been thinking? Like, he just sat down and said the God-sized hope. But then it makes so much sense. It's like someone is lacking something and it's a God-sized hope. Like, literally God.
You should watch the movie before you start. Before you start creating your own content.
No, but then this is why we're here. Pastor, please tell us about the God sized home. What was the vision behind that?
Yeah. Right. So, firstly, I need to mention that at some point, all I wanted in life was to tell stories. Because I felt like God has given me a gift of intrigue. I'm intrigued. Then I begin to imagine. Then I get into my own thoughts. Yeah. And then I create my own stories.
Wow.
So... but you know, life happens. I tell you, no, you can't take plates just writing stories. You need to go to school. So you say, all right, any mini money more, I'm going to study this.
Yeah.
So yeah, you go to school for their sake, but as you go on,
now
you're able to do your own things. Mm-hmm. So there's this one time when I was in the shower, and when I was done, I went into the bedroom. And I wanted to get a comb, and I didn't have the comb in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went back into the bathroom to look for the comb, because that's where the comb was, in the passage of time between the bedroom and the bathroom, I forgot what I was looking for.
Mm.
So when I reached there, I was now lost. What did I want here? I don't know if any of you have been there. Where you're like, I came here for something.
Yes.
So I ended up getting Vaseline. So when I went back, I was just feeling empty. Like, this is not what I needed.
Yeah.
This is not what... Then it hit me. Then I said, it was a comb I was looking for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then from that kind of idea, the Lord has been teaching me that's how it is in life. When people come here, they're supposed to find God. But when they go to the bathroom of their lives, when they go to the schools of their lives, they end up getting other things that they're not supposed to get. And because that was not the initial thing that God wanted them to get, there's still a sense of unfulfillment. So people get education, people get marriages, people get money, but there's still a hole that only that comb can fill. There's still a hole that only God can fill. So that's the idea of the God-sized hole.
I was close to it.
Yeah.
Could not have said it.
In fact, you were correct.
Yeah, true. But you know what? We can spend the whole time here with Pastor Daniel because he's a content creator. And I tell you what, you will never run out of conversations with such a person.
Of course.
I know Carol is getting eager to usher us into the intentional topic.
Yes, today's intentional topic. So get in touch, get involved, send us questions. The number is 0773-792-475. Like, let's get interacting. So today's topic, Pastor Sir, and why we want us to discuss, it's called, we titled today's topic All Things Love. And mainly because love is a very broad perspective. There's a lot of dimensions to love. There's God's love, there's parental love, there's relationship love. So to just narrow down to say, okay, today we'll tackle this. So why not talk to the person that came up with firstly Love Sunday? Mm. What was your vision behind Love Sunday,
we Pastor? Want to know.
We want to know. Like, you know, people come up with prosperity this, they will come up with Impact Sunday, they will come up with all sorts, but you decided Love Sunday.
Right, right.
What was the inspiration behind Love Sunday? And in line with our topic. Yes, sir.
Okay. So all things love, this is exciting. Around 2016, God visited me over a period of 18 hours and he began to talk to me about an assignment for relationships. At the time, I had begun small mentorship classes before we officially started the church.
Okay.
And we were just trying to make it, quote-unquote, in ministry.
Yeah.
We still are anyways. So we were trying to just see how we could find, navigate our way around it.
Mm.
And then I was a bit wondering, I said, but you know, people are doing the prophetic, people are doing miracles. I'm going to start talking about Bama Love. By then, it was not popular. I was God, what are you trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
And God was not showing me very big meetings, because I remember God was showing me small classes where I'll be talking to men, I'll be talking to women.
Yeah,
you know, the dear son, dear daughter quotes kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I woke up, I said, but I knew the voice of God.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I began to just do what God told me. I remember at the time it would be like, maybe a church would be like 30, 40.
Mm.
But then I said, how, what am I even going to call this meeting?
Mm.
But I remember where I was at the University of Zambia. I was part of a church community called the University Christian Community.
Yeah.
We used to have meetings on Sundays during this period. Valentine's, that used to be called Love Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just said, I'm just going to copy and paste.
Yeah.
I had no vision for the name.
Wow.
So I just took Love Sunday and I named it. I was there from first to fourth year and every year would have Love Sunday.
Wow.
So I said, okay, we're going to get Yamini. So I just took that one and I put, I said, Love Sunday. And the first time we had Love Sunday, we had 300 people come. I was like, hey, ndiye muri mulungu. So I decided to just go with it. So Love Sunday was not my idea necessarily.
Yeah.
I just took it where it was working.
Wow.
And I know people think, obviously when people hear because of how the Lord has blown it, people are obviously thinking, they copied. No, I copied.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now it's in a stadium.
Yeah. It's now in the stadium.
Is it going to be in the stadium again this year?
Let's see. I'll tell you this. I'll tell you that, number one, the glory does not move in reverse.
True.
Yeah.
We are dreaming bigger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I didn't like one thing about the stadium. You see, my kind of ministry involves sitting people down and teaching them.
Yeah.
But I noticed that I was exposing them to a lot of sunlight.
I see.
Some it's different from, you know, when there are meetings where people are not seated, they are moving around, things like that. At least they are, but when people are sitting, so I felt very uncomfortable.
Wow.
I had two teaching sessions and all of them were like an hour or somewhere there.
Mm-hmm.
So I have had second thoughts about going into the stadium again.
Wow.
Unless it's a place which we can manage, like Hero Stadium, and I don't feel like we are ready for Hero Stadium yet. But I don't know.
Wow.
So I don't know. I don't want the stadium, but I don't know where we are going to take everybody.
We will wait.
Yeah. You know, and we look forward to it, honestly.
Yeah. You know, Zambia is, these guys, we were talking to Apostle 2 weeks ago, and these guys are retiring almost every venue we have.
Oh, really?
So maybe we need to start, you know, building our own.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's a brilliant idea.
That will suit the kind of thing. Yeah.
That's a bigger vision, and it needs to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll actualize it one day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Okay. So we are waiting for that actualization of the vision. And so Love Sunday, and now it's, you know, that actually reminds me of a thought I was having. You know how people are so desperate to find real, not really desperate, but yeah, let me just use that. They are very desperate about finding real love. And you know, my understanding is that real love only comes from God. And that is why this particular topic, I'd like us to go in that direction, really speaking about the love of God and the love of God for people, and what types of love are there. So let's discuss about this issue called love. What is it, Pastor Saf, from your perspective, from your experience? What is love, and what should a person look out for in terms of love and what it really is?
All right, Carol, good question. So the simple Google answer is that there are different kinds of love. There's love between parents and children.
Yeah.
There's love between God and man.
Mm-hmm.
There's love between brothers.
Mm-hmm.
There's love between parent and children. I don't know if I've said that one. And then there's love between two people that are falling in love.
Mm-hmm.
The romantic kind of love. All of those have got deep Greek meaning names, which I'm sure you did in your RE.
Yeah.
But... what excites me, obviously, is where my relationship is the most, my assignment and focus is most, is the relationship between man and woman.
Okay.
Obviously, there's been a lot of perversion. There's between man and man and man and woman, and the Bible talks about it in the book of Romans, chapter number 1, where it says that in the last days, not really last days, it begins to... Yeah, but it begins to talk about a reference to the last days, in reference to what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Then it says, men began to lust after men. They left the natural use of a woman and women against women. And so God left them to a reprobate mind. Mm. So that's something that God does not approve of. So yeah, not to get into that. But I think there's a lot of things that you need to look for when it comes to a relationship that you're looking for. And we are going to draw a circumference around relationships between men and women in terms of marriage and boys and girls for purposes of our discussion, I believe, so that we can contextualize what we want to talk about. I think I'll give you an example. Let me say, if you're a woman and you want a man in your life, obviously you pray about it. But some of the things that you should look for, number one, is that he should be saved.
Mm. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope you're taking yours.
please, we're taking notes.
Number one is that he should be saved. We'll get into number one in a bit more detail.
Mm.
But I want to talk about number two, which I think is a bit even more exciting.
Okay.
Is that he must be in love with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. You see... a relationship between a man and a woman is one that is going to involve a lot of tolerance and patience.
Mm.
And one of the things that the Bible tells us is that love is patient.
Mm-hmm.
The moment that you find, you see, women, there are three kinds of people potentially in a woman.
Uh-huh.
Three people in a woman.
Yes.
Okay.
Number one, there's a queen.
Okay.
Number two, there's a little girl.
Uh-huh.
Number three, there's a fool.
Wow.
So
I didn't expect
that. So I know you're not ready. You know, so sometimes the way that a woman is treated can provoke the person that comes out of her.
Mm.
Now if let's say the last one is the one who comes out,
the fool.
The Bible says something interesting. It says, love covers a multitude of sins.
Mm-hmm.
The moment a man is in love with you, he will tolerate a lot of nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times in African tradition, people say, banamu diesa. No. Banamu diesa chabe love.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Once a man is in love with a woman, he will leave his parents suffering and he will take care of the woman's family. Not even... You don't even have to feed him on the heart of an aunt.
Mm-hmm.
Just that love is enough juju.
Wow.
So this is why I think one of the most important things is that you must be sure that the man is in love with you.
Pastor, please repeat that statement. You said the way a man treats a woman. You know, I'm sorry because... please just repeat it.
Serena, what's your interest?
I know.
No, you know why, Pastor? Because I think the reason we're having this conversation as well is for the sake of, I think, mostly the youth to understand. I know it's broader than that. When we talk about relationships, there's marriages, there's whatnot. But then, Pastor, I'm sure you get a lot of youths coming to you about this topic.
Right.
And I feel like there's a number of people that don't understand, say, how you treat someone. Not only a man and a woman, but then not only how a man treats a woman, but rather how a woman treats a man as well. We'll depict how the man reacts and how he is to that woman.
Right.
So just wanted you to go deeper on that one, because I feel it's something that most people shy away from, to say, no, she's acting that way just because she's a woman.
Right.
Why should I entertain her behavior?
Yeah,
but then the question is,
what have you done to warrant her behavior? Why is she angry? There are times when, yes, like you said, there's a fool that may come out. It's unreasonable. But then there are times when it's so valid and it's as easy as asking someone to say, what did I do and how did it make you feel this way?
Yeah.
But then most people, most men I've noticed, who opt to say, that's how women are. Maybe she's at the time of the month. I don't know if you've heard such statements. That's why I really wanted you to solidify that.
But you've already gone deep.
She has gone deep already.
No, Pastor, because so it's an issue. Like, I really try to educate my male friends on this, guys.
The only thing I would say there is that I absolutely agree with you. Yeah. I absolutely agree with you. It's a little rhetorical. It's a question which is an answer. So you see, in the words of the late Miles Monroe, a woman is a multiplier, and the woman only multiplies whatever you give her. So if you give her a seed, she gives you a child. If you give her a house, she gives you a home. If you give her money, she gives you business on a normal day.
On a normal day.
So by nature, women are multipliers.
Yeah.
So if you give your attitude, she will give you a fight. You know, if you men can tolerate a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But women are just like, whatever you give them, they are going to multiply. I'm a married man and I've seen that firsthand.
There
are times when I give my wife money and the joy multiplies in the house. And I'm not trying to say, I am not trying to say that, you know, she's cranky when there's more money, but don't tell me that money can change your mood.
Wow.
So
I hope the men are taking note.
Yeah, I mean, love doesn't pay for the trolley, just as a side note. You don't go in ShopRite and then after you go with your woman, as you are coming out, you just kiss on the trolley. We are in love. Then the accountant is like, oh, these people, let them just pass.
Doesn't happen that way.
It doesn't happen like that. So I feel like it becomes very important to have an introspection before you get into a relationship. I was watching this famous show of some ladies who talk about things. Generally, they just talk about social issues somewhere on the TV. And they just discuss. And then they were saying, what are the 10 things that you're looking for in a man? And then one of them, who I didn't expect to say that, said, the first thing I'm looking for is that a man must be God-fearing. I thought, you are the God-fearing man. So I was wondering, I said, if you want a God-fearing man, are you a God-fearing woman yourself? Because I'm looking at the things that you post. So everybody's interested in, this is the kind of woman I want. This is the kind of man I want. These are the things that she must be possessed of, he must be possessed of. But no one is paying attention to, what must I be possessed of? Am I going to be this kind of man to this woman? Or what kind of father am I going to be to the children that I'm going to bring into the marriage? So apart from looking for particular things that you should look for in a man or in a woman, you must also be those things yourself.
That's so true. And you know, we had this single seminar at church, and one of the assignments, like the little task that we were taught, okay, write down all the qualities you want in your partner. And then we were told, okay, now those, rub all of them. No, actually said, okay, now put your name there and make sure you're actually everything that you put on those lists. Are you God-fearing yourself? Are you kind? Are you patient with the person? Like, are you tolerant? So that is a very important point. We firstly also need to focus, as we focus on what we want in other people, we also need to focus on ourselves. What do we bring to that particular relationship?
I feel like, you know, there's a scripture, I think it's in the book of Psalms, says deep calls to deep.
Yes.
I think that you attract your kind. If you are a crook, obviously God is going to bless you with a crook as well.
But I have seen, like, Pastor, maybe you could
is
also...
Is it possible that a good person will attract a bad person?
I have seen that, Pastor Sir. Like, you know, this person whom people might see as, you know, a lady that doesn't listen and maybe is promiscuous. Mari is a very good man. So, Pastor Sir, maybe you could speak to that. Like, how does that happen?
A lot of those are very good questions, and I'm enjoying this discussion, by the way. A good woman does not guarantee a good marriage. A good man or a good woman does not necessarily guarantee a good marriage. A bad woman or a bad man does not guarantee a bad marriage. Mm-hmm. You see, here's the idea. A lot of people love the person they want to marry,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of people do not love the marriage they want to take the person they love into.
Wow.
Those are two different things.
Eish.
Marriage is an institution,
mm-hmm.
like school, like a university.
Yeah.
And when you go there, it's got its own rules, it's got its own regulations
yeah.
that you must abide by if you want to survive there.
Mm.
So it's not even about the kind of person that you are. Because let me tell you, although marriage is a God idea,
yeah.
It's for everyone, sinners,
yes.
saved. And we've seen sinners who last in a happy marriage.
True. Mm-hmm.
And we've seen people who are saved who don't last
mm-hmm. yes.
in a marriage. So marriage is an entire institution that people must learn.
Mm-hmm.
And people must not just love the person that they want to take into the marriage. They must also learn and love the marriage they want to take the person they love into.
Wow.
So I feel like that's where our society is
mm-hmm.
lacking.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Eve comes from God does not stop her from making you do what God said you must not do.
Wow.
So the fact that you have a person who God brought into your life does not also guarantee that you're going to have
mm-hmm.
a good marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage must be learned.
Yeah.
There are things
wow.
that you can do and things that you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
If you want it to work, the Bible says a house is built by wisdom.
Yeah.
And there are a set of tools that you must gather
mm-hmm.
in order for you to be in a good marriage. So mm-hmm. why is it that good people attract bad people and bad people attract good people?
Mm.
People have a lot of reasons why they get into the relationships they get into.
Mm.
Some
yeah.
people have a type. I mean, by the type you are, as a man, by the time you are dating three times, we can tell some of the people at, this is
there's
your
a
type.
Pattern.
Yeah.
There's a pattern.
Yes.
Sometimes it's not like God has not spoken to
yeah.
you. Sometimes
yeah.
it's that you have a type.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that experience once when God told me, no.
Mm-hmm.
But then I said, yes. And then it ended in tears, obviously.
Yeah.
So people have different reasons why they... You know,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it's spiritual.
Yeah,
there are people who just seem to be attracted to the wrong girl.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
people who just seem to be attracted to the wrong guy.
Yeah.
You find there's a spirit in their family that insists that they can't have a good marriage.
Wow.
So a lot of reasons can account for those kinds of things.
Wow.
Yeah.
So profound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm here thinking. I know you've talked about the hot type thing, right? But then,
right.
I don't know if it's correct. Maybe you probably correct me or say it's true or not. I don't know. But then the whole thing of the type, you know, there's a time I was advised, and this is by someone from church, and they said, listen, it's okay to have what you like in someone, but then you need to rule out some of the non-negotiables. And of course, someone who loves God, someone who is born again, those are obviously the non-negotiables.
Mm-hmm.
But then if we look at this generation, any given generation, we all have physical attributes that we want. I think ladies would be like, no, I want a man who is tall, dark, and handsome.
Mm-hmm.
Men would be, no, I want a woman who's curvaceous.
And
like
bald-headed.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then people won't always get that. And you're from saying, no, sometimes your type is not the right person for you. So are you saying... it's okay for someone to compromise on what they are physically attracted to.
Mm.
And I also, you can tell me if attraction is that important, or they should just go for the side of the
that's
spiritual
a difficult
side
question. I was hoping you stay away from it.
Yeah.
No, because I need to address it. You
right.
know, these are the conversations that people avoid, that we need to advise people
true.
On.
Yes.
You know, so
or
some girl out there is rejecting a short guy, but then he's probably the best man out there for her. If
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm.
right.
It's all things love. Nothing
it's
is
all
off the table,
right.
Pastor. So
right.
No questions.
Hitting the nail on the head.
Right.
No, we have the right man in the studio. So let's ask all the questions.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you basically asked two questions. You asked
mm-hmm.
about attraction,
yes.
and the first thing is, can you compromise on your type?
Mm-hmm.
When God spoke to me about my wife, by the way, I believe God can speak to you about the person that you should be with.
Okay.
But I believe that God normally keeps quiet because he doesn't want to be blamed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think last time a guy blamed him. And he said, but you brought this woman.
Yeah.
You know, so he learned something.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
he said, now he said, he who finds.
Yes.
But then in another place, he says, a good wife is from the Lord.
Yeah.
So for he who finds, he put qualities. There must be qualities that you must look for. That's on he, I believe, on she as well. If you want a woman and God has not spoken to you and you've prayed and God has not spoken necessarily, we can go ahead and look for particular qualities. Like you said, she must be saved or he must be saved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he must look like he's going somewhere and he must have these moral standards
yeah.
and things like that. But when God spoke to me about my wife,
mm-hmm.
when I got out of that experience, I couldn't believe God was leading me to her.
Mm. Wow.
Because if there were 10 girls that I liked, she was not on the list. She wasn't, let me put it this way. If there were 10 girls that I liked, she was not on number 15.
Wow.
Not because she's not pretty. I believe she's the prettiest thing and the best thing that ever existed since sliced bread. But, you know, there are just those people who are not on the list for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Firstly, she was out of my league. At least that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then I never just looked at her like that. And so when I got out of that encounter, I was thinking, how do I even start? And then I didn't have what you call feelings for her. I didn't look at her like that. You know, there are those people this one is like brother bro, you know, like, yes. or this is like my sister in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Then that one is potential something,
yes.
you know, so I didn't feel things for her like that. So when I went for my wife, I was going out of faith because God spoke to me, not because I felt something for her.
Wow.
But when I began to converse with her and I began to look at her, oh my goodness, there was a river deep in my soul. Something just came upon me and I'd never felt like that for a girl. If I ever had, I had a crush on someone in grade 6 and things like that. So I know what it means to fall in love. Even the one that God told me, no, and I said yes. But then this one was different. I felt all kinds of things that I said, I'll be meeting her only once a month to avoid a mistake.
Yes.
You know, so the point I make is, I know people say that if God speaks to me, what if he tells me, like, you know, there's this meme I was seeing where they were saying brothers with good intentions.
Why and they
and they made them look anyhow, you know. And then they were saying the savages. And then they were looking handsome and all.
Yeah.
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 So the point I make is I grew in love with this girl and I believe God can tell you. I know people are afraid that if God points to them, that's the woman, that's the man. So a lot of people have made Jesus Christ Lord over their lives over a few issues. But on that one, they're like, can I choose? And then you approve. And God doesn't mind doing that. And sometimes people say, no, there are no handsome people. There are no brothers in church that make me feel for like that. But you find that the issue is not that there are no brothers. The issue is that they're just carnal. So there's like, they want a brother who's not going to tell them, let us pray. That's the issue. They don't want those. They want a brother who touches them on the breast. Brother who hits them on the bum. They're like, hey, then they say, you have a sick. I'm a Christian. So their issue is a flesh issue. They are carnal. They like things.
Wow.
You know, not that, you know, that kind of thing. And you get one. If that's what you want, you get one. But I think we can also trust God.
Yeah.
As to whether you can be attracted, you can compromise on someone's physical qualities. I don't think, from my experience, that God can lead you to a man or to a woman that you will not fall in love with.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow.
No. I didn't get that right. Pastor just said he doesn't think it's possible for God to lead you to a woman
or a man who you will not fall in love with.
Wow.
Let me tell you this. Men don't fall in love. Men grow in love. I mean, women don't fall in love. They grow in love. Men fall in love.
Okay.
I'm trying to be technical about it.
Yeah.
If you've been in a relationship before, I mean, obviously, with having regard to the fact that you've had a crush on someone before, if you've had, a lot of times you never knew that a guy liked you. You never even looked at him like that. But the moment he began to pursue you, then you began to say, oh, I never knew. Then you say, we can give it a try. And then as you went on, you grew in love with the person.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, even men can grow in love with a girl.
Okay.
I'll tell you this. This is all the more reason why you must mark your boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you are in a relationship with someone, there is still room for you to fall in love with someone who you are carelessly associating with, who is of the opposite sex.
Wow.
Okay. A lot of people who began to cheat in their marriages or relationships, it was not always a demon.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it was just a lack of boundaries. Wow. You are too free with people you are dating. You are too free. There's this girl. You are chatting. You are going on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks great. She's in your office. You are always chatting. You are in a relationship with your wife. You need to mark your boundaries. Don't be careless.
Mm-hmm.
Or else your heart can always accommodate the next person.
Wow.
So the more you spend time with a person, the more you find out their hobbies, the more you check out how they laugh, the more you love how they dress, the more you grow in love with the person. So if God brings a person into your life that you never looked at a certain kind of way, even as a man, the more you converse with that person, there's not one person in this world you cannot fall in love with.
Really?
That's deep.
That is deep.
That's very deep.
Yeah, like you said, like sometimes things that were not even your type, like maybe, okay, you liked a certain type of people, but then you start conversing with this person regularly, you're like, oh, you know, short people aren't really that bad. Oh, sorry.
What's with you guys on short people?
It's the most common.
Yes, like it's a, yes. Ah. So like every woman will be like, I went tall, dark, and handsome, like Serena. So,
or most women.
Yeah, most women. Like, okay, really, he's, you know, his nose is not really that bad. His eyes are not really that bad. So, it's very true. We need to set boundaries. Even as we pursue this relationship, love and everything, we need to set boundaries and be very deliberate about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Set apart your negotiables and non-negotiables.
Exactly. So we'll go on a musical break and a song by Pastor Daniel Carriera, who is also a musician. This man is multifaceted. Literally, he puts the Holy Spirit to work in him.
I learned from Apostle Fred when he was here that Pastor Daniel can play any instrument. I was like, who does that? So you are a lawyer, you're a full-time pastor, he's got a big church, one of the big churches in this country.
Is it?
And he finds time to sing.
To sing?
Where do you find all the time before you go on this musical break? How do you divide it up?
Yes, how does a day look like?
How doesn't time find me? We live in time.
Honestly.
We live in time.
Quality.
Yeah.
That's all he delivers.
Yes.
Because the night of Thanksgiving was powerful. And like, I still remember.
Oh, goodness. I don't want to get there.
Honestly, I have the videos in my phone still. And I'm out of space, but I'm failing to delete them. Because they're so good.
No,
the dances, the choir. And even when you came on stage and you were performing your own songs, I was just
amazing.
Like, goodness.
Wow.
The place was filled. I came late.
Wow.
So I had no seat. But
yeah, that's
what I put the few
streams. You know, something happened.
And he always emphasizes when he's got big meetings like that, that if you fashionably come late, you fashionably find yourself.
Fashionably outside. But
exactly.
I put the few strings and found
a seat. Ah, nice.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good
and
for
really,
you.
What, honestly, before we go on a break,
mm-hmm.
you know, how do you manage to do all that?
I don't know.
What drives you? Obviously, we know God is at the front of it.
Yeah, seriously, I break down.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to do, but I'm afraid of God. I'll tell you this. There was one time, I had a vision. The Lord took me to heaven.
Wow.
Wow.
And I was in the judgment seat of Christ, and five books were opened.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And one book had to do with the gifts and talents that God gave me and the callings and how I related with them. Another book had and another book had to deal with the friendships and relationships that God gave me, what I did with them.
Yeah.
There are those relationships that are horizontal, then some are vertical,
mm-hmm.
some you're supposed to look up to, some you're supposed to pull up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then
wow.
there was money.
Mm-hmm.
There was a book that spoke to me. By looking at a book like that,
mm-hmm.
that book would tell you, you never tithe that year. This is the money you would have made that year that you lost.
Mm-hmm.
This is the money that you made and you used correctly. That book is a book of accounts. It's got everything. And another book that God opened for me was the time that God gave me and how I spent it.
Mm-hmm.
From then, I learned never to call any moment that I never created boring.
Wow.
So when I was doing my first book, by the way, I've authored 11 books.
Wow.
By the time I did the first book in 2016, I was doing a dissertation and I had this lecture as well on our backs. And then God was also telling me to write a book. And I said to God, but how am I going to do it? And he gave me two words. He said, time management.
Mm-hmm.
So you just need to manage your time. So when I'm going to study, I'm going to make sure that I'm off my phone, I'm off chatting. The 2 hours that I'm going to spend will strictly be for studying.
Mm.
As opposed to every 1 minute, I check out a message and then I end up spending 5 hours. And yet that 5 hours is compartmentalized into 2 hours serious studying and 3 hours co-curricular activities.
Yeah.
So I learned if I'm sitting down, I'm going to spend time with my wife. I'm going to spend time with my girlfriend at the time. I'm going to be doing just that. Yeah. Right. So if you want to manage your time at a certain level of busyness,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be impossible for you to do all the things that you want to do alone. Let me tell you something. In the Bible, there are a number of guys that were given responsibilities. Mm-hmm. One was given 5 talents,
mm-hmm.
one was given 2 talents, another one was given 1 talent.
Mm-hmm.
The weird thing about that parable is that the one who was given 5 talents seemed to have done more.
Mm-hmm.
The one who was busier produced more results.
Mm-hmm.
And the one who had less produced less results.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the only way to be productive is to be busy. Let me say this. Because people who have too much time on their hands have a procrastinative mentality where they think, I'm going to do this at this time because I still have time. Let me catch a movie. Let me eat a popcorn. Let me see a friend.
Mm.
Let me catch up on the reels. So they end up doing nothing and they still say, I have more time. But when you have pressure, you find yourself doing a lot of things because you know the moment that I leave this thing and I don't do it, I'll not have another opportunity to do it. And the opportunity to do it is just now.
Yeah.
So sometimes your problem of not accomplishing things is that you are not busy. So sometimes you need to be busy. Obviously, this is having regards to the fact that a lot of activity does not always amount to productivity. But mm-hmm. sometimes you need to have some activity in order for you to have productivity. In fact, you cannot have productivity without any activity.
Mm.
Now, interestingly, the guy who was given 5 talents and the guy who was given 1 talent were all given 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
There's nowhere where God said, for you who's having 5 talents or 5 things to do, I'm going to give you 36 hours in a day.
Mm-hmm.
All of them were given the same number of hours. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some structures that you can put in place and some personal ethics and rules that you can set around yourself that can help you. Some of them you can set around yourself, knowing some of the weaknesses you have. You need to study yourself. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that take much of my time without trying? The Bible says, let us lay aside the sin and the weight which so easily ensnares us. Sometimes it's not sin, sometimes it's weights.
Yeah.
But the Bible is trying to suggest in Hebrews chapter number 12 that they may have the same ability to weigh you down the same way that sins do.
Mm.
I'll give you an example. You can sit down and binge watch a movie. You've not sinned, you're just watching a movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't amount to righteousness. You'd have still wasted time that you'd have invested in other things.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you end up not giving a proper report before God like the guy who was sinning.
Yeah.
So they may have the same net effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that you get to do at a certain point where you become very busy, if you've got 5 talents, which I believe most of you have, is that you need to work with a team.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was starting out in ministry, there's a lot of things that are going on, and I used to do them.
Yeah.
God began to speak to me in short, and he said, you can't do it alone. You need to learn to grow other people who will be like you, who will be able to do the things that you're able to do. At some point, Moses was advised by his father-in-law, Jethro, that you would die if you sit where you are sitting, judging 3 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, bringing judgment to them. So he said to him to find 70 men that he's going to make captains of tribes that will be able to do the things that he was doing. And after some time, God seemed to confirm that counsel in that he said to him after he complained, bring to me 70 elders of the tribes of Israel, and I will take what's on you. So there is a system in God what takes what is of a man. And it is planted in others and they're able to produce the same kind of results.
Wow.
It can come by impartation. It can come by mentorship. It can come by service. There are many ways in which it can come. It can also come by training.
Yeah.
For example, when Moses was about to leave, God says to him, pick Joshua, son of Nun, and lay hands on him so that he may continue with your assignment. And the Bible says that when Moses laid hands on Joshua, the spirit of wisdom that was upon him rested on Joshua.
Mm.
So you can't work alone at some point. At some point, even in business, when it begins to grow, there's a point to which you cannot expand beyond your willingness to share profits.
Wow.
So working with others, you know, working with a team makes the dream work.
Profound.
Very profound. And
yeah. We have moved from love.
No, actually, we are going back.
We are going back. we are actually going back.
I just realized it.
We are going back.
Because
it was a by the way.
No, it's not even a by the way. It's talking. You talked about managing relationships, right? And that is a form of love.
Even relationships. Need time, right?
Relationships
we
need
must
time.
Be intentional about it.
Don't tell the girl that.
But yes, and I think that one is what's leading to my next question is that you're talking about working with a team, right? How do you manage relationships in that team? How do people work with you but not feel used? I don't know if that means, like, how do you make people feel empowered even as they are working with you but not feel used, and like they're focused on the vision? It's really your assignment, your vision, that you are bringing people along. So how do you, in the essence of love, how do you manage people's relationships even as you are building, working through people?
I will give a divergent context to that question by giving you an answer. So the reason why God instituted the first family was because it was a system through which different structures of society were expected to grow and develop. There's no community without family. There's no workplace without family. And at the core or the building block of family is people. So where two or three are gathered, when the two of you are there, it means you can have a company. Even by virtue of the law, a company must have a minimum of two shareholders.
Yes.
You can't have a company. And in the loose and natural sense of the term, the word company means more than one.
Yeah.
You can't be in a company of your own.
Yes.
Even God is not in a company of his own. He's in a company of his own, which expresses itself in three different personalities, which are in fact one in essence, but three different personalities.
Yeah.
That's the beauty about the Trinity. It's confusingly beautiful.
Yeah.
So the idea of family with God is so that we could work together, we could serve God together. Man was with God, but God still said it's not good for man to
be alone.
That means besides having God, God wants us to have beings of our kinds to come together.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons for getting into relationship and for building family. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. And the Bible says one cannot keep warm alone, but two can keep warm. It's not just in the literal sense of the term.
Yeah.
The Bible goes on to say, because when one has fallen, the other one can pull him up. But when you are alone and you have fallen, who can help you go up?
No.
So the idea is that when you get into a relationship with someone, you're supposed to have someone who's going to help in one way or the other.
Yeah.
This is why, if you're going to get into a relationship, there are specific qualities you must look for.
Mm-hmm.
Is this person going to help me in business or the way I think, the way the issues I have? You can't be a junkie. You look for a fellow junkie. You know that you're just going to destroy each other, and I believe none of you is a junkie. So you need to find someone who at least can complement some of the things that need complementing.
Beautiful. Pastor Kaira, let's end this interview in this way. We had battles here last Sunday.
I was just about to ask you that question.
We are apparently in a Valentine's week.
Right.
Let's begin from the... the legality of the term itself. Do Christians celebrate Valentine's?
It's up to you.
Mm.
Now, I'll tell you this. There's a lot of things that are questionable.
Yeah.
That have a huge theological debates. For example, Christmas.
Yeah.
There's evidence to the effect that Jesus was born apparently in April. And there's also evidence that shows that as at the time that they began to celebrate Christmas, there's some pagan worship.
Yeah.
But look, we're saying, was Jesus born? Yes.
Yes.
Was there a time that is recorded as to when Jesus was born? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Different people say different things.
Yeah.
But was Jesus born? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pick a day. Mm-hmm. Or if you are going to tell us that Jesus was not born on the 25th of December, then tell us a date when he was born that we are going to celebrate, even if it's going to be in April.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we are not trying to paganize, because if we are paganizing, then we should be bringing to my idols in church and doing it.
Yeah.
But we have agreed on the essence of the fact that Jesus was born.
Yeah.
So let's pick a date to celebrate him. And 25th December, we are not worshiping any idol.
Mm-hmm.
We are we are consciously celebrating the birth of our Messiah.
Yeah.
It's the same thing when it comes to relationships, to Valentine's. And you know, there are these guys who just normally use this thing for saying it's an idol worship to run away from spoiling
from their way.
It's wrong. Uh-huh. Just repent.
Uh-huh.
So, let's say we remove Valentine's from being 14th February. Yeah. Can we choose a love day? Yeah. And are you going to celebrate the girl you love or the man you love on a different day?
Mm.
You will still find... The problem is that you are just stingy. Not that you believe it's a pagan worship or things like that. You know, so wow. I think if your conscience tells you don't celebrate because it's maybe don't,
yeah.
But if you say you are not going to be celebrating an idol but you just want to join everybody, I mean, people are celebrating love all over the world,
yeah.
What's evil about that? I don't see anything, so you can focus on celebrating your
wow,
yeah,
Carol. I'm sure this makes you very happy.
It makes me very happy, sir. And, you know, it brings this matter to a conclusion.
We have closed it.
We have closed it.
Yeah.
So we celebrate love. Mm. So, Pastor Sir, we are grateful that you made the time to be on the Intentional Gospel Hour to discuss the matter of all things love. And
right.
I believe you have shared what is very important in both relationships, with managing people as well as managing a man and wife relationship. And Pastor Sir, we are grateful. Any closing remarks? And as a way of closing the show, we always give an opportunity to people that are listening to give their lives to God and
right.
to experience this true love of God, the perfect love of God. So Pastor Sir, we just want you to lead someone that's listening to Christ.
Yeah, thank you so much for this opportunity. I would like to thank you for having had me. I don't take it lightly. It means a lot to me. I've had a great time being here. And I would also like to just invite all those who haven't given their lives to Christ. Guys, these things are serious. Please give your life to Christ. Because you are not promised tomorrow. The Lord Jesus may come anytime. The Bible says you come like a thief in the night. So it's better to set your life straight with him. So if you are listening to me, I just want us to pray together in this very simple prayer. I want you to close your eyes as you say these words after me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
I believe you're the Son of God.
I believe you're the Son of God.
I believe you died for my sins.
I believe you died for
my sins. I confess you as Lord and Savior.
I confess you as Lord and Savior.
Over my life.
Over my life.
I receive eternal life into my spirit.
Eternal life into my spirit.
Thank you for writing my name in the book of life.
Thank you for writing my name in the book of life.
I know that when you return on that day.
I know that when you return on that day.
You will remember me.
You will remember
I'm a child of God now.
I'm a child of God.
All things are passed away.
All things are passed away.
And all things are now new.
And all things are now new.
If you've received the Lord Jesus into your heart and you've prayed this prayer after me, you get in contact with the team here and they're going to tell you exactly what to do. Thank you so much.
Okay, so you're getting in touch with us on 0773-792-475. So get in touch if you did say that prayer. Yes, Mr. Kim.
Well, we are back with Intentional Gospel Hour on Sunday, same time. And thanks to the entire team, Serena at the beginning and Njela at the very end. Thank you so much. Join us next week. My name is Kim with Carol.